In the previous year, we distinguished between what's considered to be ribis d'oraisa, a term that we use is ribis k'tzutza, a set amount of ribis was built into the agreement, in contrast to avik ribis, ribis which is only midirabanan. And we pointed out that there are several differences lahalocha between what constitutes ribis d'oraisa, what constitutes ribis d'rabanan. Now I'm going to try just to give a few examples of cases that, for technical reasons, are not ribis d'oraisa. There's a lack of k'tzitza, there was no set amount that was agreed upon, either at the time of the loan, or at least according to other Rishonim, even at the time of the payment of the loan. And all of these cases fall into the category of ribis d'rabanan with all of the above ramifications, nafkaminas, lahalocha, that we spoke about in the previous year. So one common example of ribis d'rabanan would be the following. Reuven borrows $100 from Shimon with the understanding that he's going to only pay him back $100. Nothing wrong with that. And then when comes time to pay back the loan, so out of the goodness of his heart, Reuven decides just to add on a few more dollars. He wasn't requested to do so. He wasn't obligated to do so. He gives a little bit extra at the time of the payment of the loan. So this is problematic. This is not ribis d'oraisa because there was no k'tzitza. According to the Rambam we mentioned in the past year, there was no k'tzitza at the time of the halvah, at the time of the loan. And even according to the Ravid, who says that a k'tzitza that is done, even at the time of the payment, also qualifies as a k'tzitza. Here there was nothing. Here it was just a one-sided giving out of the goodness of his heart. He decided to give a couple of extra dollars. So clearly this is not ribis d'oraisa. On the other hand, this would be ribis d'rabanan. This is something which would not be permissible. However, the poskim tell us that what if you have a situation where the reason why the person is giving back a little bit extra is clearly not being given b'toras ribis. It's clearly nothing to do with the loan proper. It's being done more in the sense of convenience. Say, for argument's sake, if a person borrowed a certain amount of money, borrowed $9.99, and now he returns with a $10 bill, and he wants to give back $9.99, or the other person doesn't have a penny, so he says, keep the change, don't bother, keep the extra penny, that's all right. Does that qualify as ribis? Is that ribis d'rabanan? So should we say that technically he borrowed $9.99 and now he's giving back $10? So technically he gave back ribis. Or perhaps we can argue that that extra penny is clearly not being given back b'toras ribis. It's just being given back b'toras matana, just as a gift, just to make life a little bit easier for everybody. So the poskim assume that if the amount is really insignificant, such as the case we mentioned, then there would be grounds to be mekil. The Minchas Yitzchok writes in one of his tshuvas that the way to determine whether the amount is so insignificant is to ask ourselves a question. If a person would drop this amount of money on the floor, would he even bother to bend down to look for it? Person drops a penny, so very often it's not worth the tircha to go and find the penny. So you see that the person clearly is not giving any significance to this penny. And as such, that very, very small, insignificant amount would most probably not qualify as ribis. The Mishnah tells us in the fifth parak above Metziah that very often we have ashailas that come up in terms of ribis in the following, where even though the Reuven lends $100 to Shimon, and Shimon is returning the exact amount, there's no ribis d'oraisa, not even a ribis d'rabanan, he gave him 100, he's giving back 100, but there are other things that are taking place as well. There are other certain tovos, there are certain things that the Lova is giving to the Malva. There are certain favors that the Lova, the person who's borrowing the money, is granting to the Malva that touch on perhaps a Shaila of Ribis. Now again, this is not going to be Ribis d'oraisa because there's no Katsitsa whatsoever, neither at the time of the Halva nor at a later point. But Lamaisa, what is happening is that the Lova is borrowing $100 and he's returning $100, and in addition to $100, the Malv is getting back certain perks, he's getting back certain benefits that perhaps he would otherwise not have gotten. And this touches on a potential problem of Avak Ribis. This is the problem of Ribis d'Rabbanan. So the example that the Mishnah gives us is that if a person borrows money from someone, and the Lova happens to have a house, happens to have a courtyard, a chotzer, that's the case that the Gemara gives, and nobody's living in this chotzer, and the Malva decides to move into the chotzer and not to pay rent. So here the Malva is getting a certain perk. He's getting a free house for a couple of days, getting a free backyard for a couple of days, in addition to getting his money back. Is that a problem of ribis or not? So if the malva would actually pay whatever the going rate of the rent would be, then it's obviously that wouldn't pose a problem. But the malva is getting something free, and we can assume that he's getting it free because there's a relationship of a malva and a lova that took place. So the Gemara Mishnah and the Gemara has a whole discussion about this, and we conclude the halacha that this is problematic. So what the Gemara speaks about, that malva is chaveiro lo yodeh b'chatzer b'chinam, that a person who lends money to somebody would not be permitted to live in the borrower's house, in the borrower's backyard, to use his property without paying the going rate of rent, because this smacks of ribbis, this looks like ribbis. Again, this is not ribbis deraisa, but this would be a problem of ribbis derabbanan. Tosfos in the fifth paragraph of Metziah is bothered with how far does this go. Tosfos says it seems to be somewhat strange to say that once a malva and a lova have created this relationship, so then the lova is not permitted to do any favors whatsoever to the malva. It's inconceivable. The lova can never do anything special for the malva, even things which don't seem to be have any connection to the loan whatsoever. Where do you draw the line? Do we say that this is an absolute rule? Once malva of a lova relationship is created, so then the lova is not permitted to extend any favors whatsoever to the malva. Tosfos finds it very hard to believe. So Tosfos attempts to try to qualify this halacha. When does this apply and when does this not apply? So Tosfos develops two different approaches to this topic. So one approach that Tosfos says is, maybe if you look at the cases that the Gemara gives, the case of living in somebody's house, some other cases that appear in the Gemara, those are all issues of farhesia. Those are all issues which of public, people know about these things. And as such, Tosfos says, this is going to create a situation where people are going to suspect that this really looks like ribbis. This is more like a Maris Ayin type of halacha. That if I borrow $100 from you, and now I'm going ahead and doing you these public favors, everybody knows I have a house that's vacant, and I'm letting you live in it for a couple of days for free. So that gives the impression that there's ribbis that's taking place, be it not Minat Torah, but at least Min Dirabbanan. But if it's something which is private, people don't know about, if it's not something of Farhesia, then presumably that wouldn't be a problem whatsoever, Tosfos says. So that's one approach that Tosfos gives as to where to draw the line, that only those types of activities, those types of benefits and favors and perks, only if they draw attention to themselves are prohibited. If they don't, then that would not be a problem. This is one suggestion of Tosfos. Then Tosfos suggests an alternate approach, that maybe if you look carefully at the cases that Chazal give in that sugya in Bava Metzia, that they're talking about situations where the malva is taking the initiative and the malva is moving into the house of the lova shalomi daito. The malva never received permission to live in this house. The malva is on his own moving into the lova's vacant home. Says Tosfos, that looks somewhat suspicious. Why is the malva doing that? What right? Why does he think that he has a right to move into somebody's house without asking permission? It must be that in the back of his mind he's doing it because he knows that he lent money to the person and this is a perk that's coming to him in return, in exchange for this loan. So says Tosfos, that's where the problem begins. That in the malva's mind, what he's doing is something which is related to the loan. He is connecting the living in the person's house for free and the loan that took place a little while ago. And that's considered to be a problem of ribbis. Again, not ribbis deraisa, but ribbis derabbanan. However, what if the malva would have asked permission? He's not willing to pay rent, but he asks permission. So if the malva comes to the lover and says, I'm asking you permission to live in your house for free, there's no connection to the loan, nothing to do, no mention of the loan is made. So says Tosfos, the lover wants to be a nice fellow. He wants to be extend a favor to the malva. Why should we declare this to be ribbis? What might inyan the fact that the malva is living in the house for free to the loan that took place? So these are the two answers that Tosfos gives to try to, in a sense, limit this halacha that appears in the Gemara. So the Gemara gives us an example, dar b'chatzer chaveira shalom idaito. This is the prototype of a hanah, of a benefit, of a favor that is prohibited by the halacha. Tosfos wants to focus upon which dimension of this example is really critical. Do we focus on the fact that it's b'farhesia? So whenever it's b'farhesia, that's a problem because it draws attention. Or do we say, no, the reason why it is prohibited, nothing to do with being farhesia, the real problem is that it's being done without the permission of the lova, and as such, it becomes more directly related to the loan itself. La halacha and the Shulchan Aruch, we paskin that both of these answers are correct, and therefore the Shulchan Aruch paskins lechumra that if either one of these factors are present, then it becomes a problem. So let's say, for example, if somebody lends money to somebody else, and now the malva wants to receive a favor, if it's a public favor, if it's something that everyone's going to know about, so that's also under all circumstances, even though no mention is made of the loan itself. Or If the malve takes advantage of the love, does something without his permission, even though it's something which is more private, something which doesn't draw attention, that's also considered to be problematic. Says the Shulchan Aruch and Chas Ribbis, the only time that it would be permissible for the malve to benefit from the love would only be if neither of those factors are present. If it's something which is not public, and it's also something which was done with the explicit permission of the lover, thereby not being connected directly to the loan, if both of those factors are present, then the issue of ribis derabanan no longer applies. However, the Shulchan Aruch is quick to quote, to qualify even that, even this kula, that if both factors are absent, then it becomes permissible. The Shulchan Aruch quotes from Tosfos, that is only true if the following is also true, namely, that the malva and the lova have a relationship from beforehand, and it's not considered to be out of the ordinary for the lova sometimes to extend favors to the malva. If the lova never had such a relationship, the lova never would have dreamt of letting the malva live in his house for free before the agreement that the loan was entered into, then this is clearly ribis. This is clearly a violation. Then there's clearly a connection between the favor that's being extended and the loan. So only if all three factors are there, then and only then it is permissible. So it has to be, number one, something which is private, something which people generally do not know about. Number two, it has to be something which is done with the explicit permission of the lova. And number three, it has to be in a situation that would have theoretically have been done beforehand, that they did have such a relationship. What prompted Tosa and the Shulchan Aruch to believe that if this relationship was absent beforehand, then it is out of the question, then there is no way whatsoever for the Lova to extend any favors under any circumstances to the Malva if he wouldn't have done so before? So this is explicit in the Mishnah, when the Mishnah, at the end of the fifth parak of Mitzia, speaks about what's called Ribis Devarim. Ribis Devarim is another type of Ribis Derabon, usually going to be Derabonan for a variety of reasons. Ribis Devarim means that somebody borrows money from somebody else. Reuven borrows money from Shimon. He pays him back exactly the amount that he owes him. He doesn't do any favors to him during the course of the loan, but he gives him a Shalom Aleichem. He meets him in the street. He gives him a big Good Shabbos. He gives him a big Shalom Aleichem. So the Mishnah says that if Reuven never would have greeted Shimon beforehand, and now the reason why he's greeting him is because of the loan that was extended to him, so this is what's called Ribis Devarim, even though there's no monetary value to the Shalom, but just the mere words alone, that he's extending a greeting to him, what he otherwise would not have extended, that's also considered to be a problem of Ribis. Again, that will not be Ribis Deraisa, there's no Ketsutza whatsoever, it's clearly no Ketsutza in this relationship, but Ribis Derabanan, it would be what's called in Halacha Ribis Devarim. So Tosos and the Shulchan Aruch say that Kal v'chomer, not ribis devarim, just words alone, which were usually not extended, are now prohibited to be extended because it smacks of ribis, it looks like ribis. So Kal v'chomer favors, Kal v'chomer living in my house for free, Kal v'chomer taking advantage of other things which otherwise would not have taken place beforehand, clearly is a violation of ribis, albeit only ribis derabanan because there's no ketzitza. So again, in terms of different tovos, different favors, different perks that are now granted to the malve in light of the fact that he lent money to the love, the only time we will permit this is if it's not public knowledge, and if it's something that's done with the knowledge of the love, and it's also a type of a thing that would have been done before between these two people. If all three conditions are met, then and only then do we label these perks and these tovos, these favors, not a violation of ribis, not even ribis derabanan. This prohibition of ribis devarim that we mentioned, which is in a certain sense a lower level than regular ribis, it doesn't involve any monetary compensation, but nevertheless it is prohibited. So there are details in the poskim just what qualifies, what falls under this category of ribis devarim. There is a shaila that the poskim discuss whether a person is permitted to say thank you for a loan. Does that constitute ribis devarim or not? So this was a big machlokas, a poskim, that Rav Moshe had the understanding that this is a problem. This is considered to be ribis devarim. This is the same as the Gemara's case, the Mishnah's case of giving Shalom Aleichem. So just the saying of thank you, since the saying of thank you is being connected directly to the loan, that would be a problem of ribis devarim. and Rosh Lamazam and Abach and other poskim were of the opinion that that's not considered to be a problem of Ribbis Devarim, because it's not really a bracha, it's not a blessing, I'm not giving you any divrei bracha, I'm just making a statement, a simple statement of thank you, that would not be a problem. So that's a technical machlokes poskim, whether that would be a problem of Ribbis Devarim or not. The poskim point out that if a person words the thank you in such a way that he's not thanking the person for the loan proper, but rather he's thanking the person for the effort that he exerted, that he came and spent time getting all the paperwork ready, etc. So that would most probably be permissible according to everybody. That wouldn't be a thank you for the loan proper. We spoke about the example that the Mishnah gives of saying Shalom Aleichem, if a person usually didn't greet his friend before, and then now all of a sudden the lover becomes friendly to the malva and starts to say Shalom Aleichem to him, so that would be a problem. The poskim say that that's only true if the lover initiates the Shalom Aleichem. If the malva gives Shalom Aleichem to the lover and the lover returns his bracha, the returns his greeting, that would not be a problem of Ribbis Devarim at all. The reason being, the poskim say, because the Gemara tells us in Maseches Brachos that if a person greets you, you're obligated to greet them to return the greeting. So the reason why the lover is returning the greeting is not out of the goodness of his heart, not because he's all of a sudden trying to get on the good side of the malva, not trying to thank him for the loan, but rather because the halacha dictates that a person is required to return a greeting. So returning of a greeting would not violate any question of Ribbis Devarim. There is another question that the post can discuss in terms of what if the lova wants to bless the malva, but not on his own. He doesn't want to extend his own personal bracha to the malva, but he wants to extend the following statement to the malva, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bless you, that he makes a statement that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bless you, the malva, for what you did. Is that considered to be Ribbis Devarim? So here Rav Moshe was making, even though Rav Moshe was very machmir on the saying of thank you, but Rav Moshe felt that if the blessing is extended not from the lova to the malva, but rather the lova is just davening in the sense that the malva should be blessed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that doesn't fall into the category of Ribbis Devarim. Rav Moshe wrote this about the following situation. A very common shaila, a person borrows money to publish a sefer, so now they want to acknowledge the person who lent them the money, so they write in the Hakdama, in the introduction to the sefer, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bless you and your family with all the brachas of the Torah. So Rav Moshe felt that that was permissible, because it's not the lova actually blessing the malva, but rather he's beseeching HaKadosh Baruch Hu to bless him, and that would be called Ribbis Devarim. And many poskim question that. That's also Ribbis Devarim. It means the lova is doing something in addition to what to paying back the loan. He borrowed $10,000 to publish the sefer. He's returning $10,000, plus he's writing a beautiful hakdama about the person. He's giving him a beautiful blessing in the hakdama of the sefer. So even though it's not technically his bracha, it's the Ribbono Shel Olam's bracha, that also qualifies, that also falls into the category of Ribbis Devarim. So again, everybody agrees that there's a prohibition of Ribbis Devarim. It's most probably only going to be Midrabanan, because it's not going to be Ribbis Ketzutza, but one has to be careful with this issue of Ribbis Devarim, again with the details in the poskim, whether this, well, how far this goes, whether it includes what kinds of greetings and what kinds of blessings, etc. There is another situation that arises that is also only Ribbis Derabanan, because it's lacking in Ketzutza, and that is what the Mishnah describes at the end of the fifth parak of Metzia, what's called Sa'a B'Sa'a. If a person borrows a commodity, a person borrows food, a person borrows something else, and he is planning on returning the same amount, so he borrows borrows a measure of food, and then he enters into the agreement with the Malva, I'm going to return you exactly this amount, Sa'a B'Sa'a, I borrowed this amount of food, I'm going to return you the exact same amount of food. What could possibly be wrong with this? This is not Ribbis at all. So says the Mishnah, says no, this is also a problem of Ribbis Derabanan, because the price may go up on the food. So it may turn out that I borrow from you a saw that was worth X amount of money, and now next month when I pay you back, it's worth X plus amount of money. So that would be a violation of Ribbis. Again, it's not possible for that to be Ribbis Deraisa. There was no ktsitsa, there was no set amount, we don't even know that any change is going to happen, but it doesn't matter, even if the price doesn't go up, that in and of itself is a problem, it smacks of Ribbis, it looks like Ribbis. Nevertheless, the Mishnah tells us, the Gemara elaborates upon this, that this Ribbis Derabanan is fairly lenient, and we have a few important kulas to be aware of. These shadas come up fairly often, and one kula is that, what if the lova has some of the food in his own property to return? So he's a little bit low on something, he wants to borrow a saw, so he goes to his neighbor, wants to borrow a couple of eggs, and he has one or two eggs in his house, but he doesn't have enough that he needs, so he enters into agreement, I'm borrowing 20 eggs, I'm going to return to you 20 eggs, and he already has some eggs in his house, so yesh lo lova, the lova has a little bit, so we don't view that as a ribbis, we don't view that so much as a loan, but rather the halacha is willing to view that more as a barter, more as an exchange, so it's ke'ilu, I'm already giving you the eggs, if I already have the eggs in my property, I could really pay him back to you on moment's notice. So that's not considered to be a halvah in the classic sense of the word for the purposes of ribbis derabbanan. So again, even though there's no ketzitza taking place, that's not a ribbis deraisa, there is still a problem of ribbis derabbanan. But in a situation where the loba has some of that commodity, that would not be a problem of ribbis even midderabbanan. Another example of a way to circumvent this prohibition of ribbis derabbanan of saw b'saw would be if there's already a price set. So this particular, the price of eggs is already set, and eggs go for this amount of money. So we're assuming that the price is not going to change drastically over the next couple of days. So therefore, if it's ready yotz, what's called in halacha yotz ha-sha'ar, then the prohibition of saw b'saw wouldn't apply. Similarly, we assume, halacha, most of the Rishonim assume, that if it's a davar mu'at, if it's a very small amount, it's a type of a thing that people borrow from neighbors, a couple of eggs, a little bit of I want to borrow a pound of flour, so even though it's possible that the price of flour may go up, it's not yet tzashar, and I don't have any flour in my house right now, but it's such a davar mu'at, just a small amount that people borrow all the time, so even if it does turn out that it goes up a little bit, that price increase is so insignificant, people don't consider that to be an issue of ribbis, and again, min ha-Torah, none of this is ribbis, min ha-Torah, it's totally permissible, it's not ketzutza, but the yisad derabbanan of saw b'saw can be avoided if any one of these conditions are present. If the lova has some of the item in his house available to pay back at a moment's notice, or if it's yotza hashar, there is a set price already, or if it's such an insignificant amount of davamuah that people tend to borrow from one another. There is an important application of this principle of saw b'saw that appears, actually this sugya appears primarily in the fourth parak of Bava Metzia. Most of Hilchos Ribbis appears in the fifth parak, but this particular sugya appears for the most part in the fourth parak. And that's what the Mishnah just spells out for us, the halachas, the differences, what's considered to be a currency in halacha, what's considered to be kesef, what's considered to be money in halacha, and what's considered to be what's called peiros, commodities, fruit, etc. So usually it's very obvious, if I go to the store and I give you cash and you give me eggs, so it's obvious that the cash is the kesef and the eggs are the peiros. But comes the Mishnah and the Gemara in the fourth parak of Metzia and says sometimes it's not so simple. Sometimes you have, you're trading different types of metals, you're trading kesef for zahav. So it's hard to know, is the Zov considered to be the Kesef? Is the Kesef considered to be the Kesef? What is the halachic currency? So a whole desugya in the Mishnah, in the Gemara, in the beginning of the fourth parak, what's considered to be currency in halach and what not? Why is this important in terms of Hilchos Ribbis? So what is permitted to lend money of currency, as long as you're obviously not adding on more, so I'm allowed to lend you $100 of the currency with the understanding you're going to give me back $100. We don't say the money's going to go up in value. Money doesn't go up in value. The halachic world, in Dina Mamunis, views that money remains stable. It's the commodities, it's the objects that the price fluctuates. So this issa derabbanan of saw b'saw does not apply to what is halachically labeled as currency. It only applies to products, only applies to payrolls, to commodities. So sometimes it becomes a little bit tricky to know what's called commodities and what's called currency. So usually we assume that whatever in that particular place considers to be the currency, you're in America, so you borrow $100, you're allowed to get back $100. Whether the $100 went up in value, down in value, that doesn't mean anything in halacha because money doesn't change in value. It's everything around it that changes, but the money remains the same. However, this is only true when we're dealing with the currency of that particular location. What would the halacha be if I'm in a foreign country and I want to change, I want to lend somebody money, I want to lend them another currency. So say a person's in America, for argument's sake, I want to lend somebody euros. So I want to lend somebody 100 euros, that he's going to pay me back 100 euros. That's a problem because euros in America is not the currency. Euros is a commodity. You take dollars and you trade the dollars for euros. So the euros like the payros. So now they're subject to the halachas of saw b'saw, which would be problematic unless one of those three kulas that we mentioned applies. So it's perfectly permissible in America to lend $100 to get back $100, but it would be problematic to lend 100 euros to get back 100 euros. That would be a problem of ribbis derabbanan. That would be under the category of saw b'saw. There was a big machlok, it's a big discussion in the poskim over the years about the unique status of dollars in Eretz Yisrael. is that considered to be a currency, or is that considered to be like payros, like commodity, a big nafkamina lahalacha? Can a person in Eretz Yisrael lend somebody $100 to pay back $100? Is that called sabasa or not? So there were some poskim who said that that's not considered to be sabasa because they felt that dollars are considered to be a valid, quote-unquote, currency in Eretz Yisrael, even though it's not technically the currency in Eretz Yisrael, but it's so common to be able to go into a store and use dollars to buy things, people consider it to be like in a sense, an equivalent type of a currency, so therefore it would also not be subject to the prohibitions of sabasa. This was an opinion that was suggested several years ago by a group of poskim. L'chora, it would appear that that psak has to really be reevaluated in each and every time, depending on just how common it is that dollars can really be viewed as the currency in Eretz Yisrael. So this psak may have been true 30 years ago when there was such high degrees of inflation in Eretz Yisrael, where people were dafka didn't want to hold on to shkel, and people were dafka doing business. All business deals were conducted in dollars, and as such, it was more believable to say that dollars had the status of currency and wouldn't be subject to the issur of sabasa in Eretz Yisrael. Whereas today, it's much more difficult to understand that. Today, when generally speaking, people are more than happy to do their business in shkolim, where the dollar is not as strong as it is, and it's not considered to be in any shape or form the currency in Eretz Yisrael, so it's harder to make such a case to say that dollars are considered to be like a second currency in Eretz Yisrael, and as such, it would potentially be subject to the Isser of Sabasa. Again, if any one of those three conditions are present, then it would be okay. If the Lova has some dollars, that would be permissible. If it's a very dove muat, very, very small amount, so maybe that would be permissible. But Yotzah Shar is also very difficult to apply. Many poskim are very weary of applying the principle of Yotzah Shar to currency because the numbers fluctuate so much. So even though there may be the dollar rate, the dollar to shekel rate may be set for today, may be set for now, but tomorrow it's going to be different. So it's hard to call that Yotzah Shar. So we probably should assume, at least today, that dollars probably are a potential problem of sabasa in Eretz Yisrael. They may be mutter anyway if the other conditions are going to be met. But just to say that they're considered to be a currency and therefore not subject to sabasa seems to be a little bit more problematic today than it was several years before. So we have a few common examples of ribis derabanan. There are issues of returning money, a little bit of extra money at the end, issues of favors that are done from the lova to the malveh, issues of ribis devarim, and some of the issues that go into the question of sabasa.
This presentation has been brought to you by the Orthodox Union in conjunction with the Beis Havad Institute of Talmudic Law, the Center for the Study and Practice of Monetary Halacha.